VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us today here on Crosstalk as we talk about Islam. And, well, we're going to be talking about holy war in the Bible. Islam has been front and center all over the world, and even here in the United States in acts of jihad. Many have tried to deflect what is being done in the name of Islam by saying that, well, Jehovah God and the accounts in the Bible are just as guilty of jihad as Islam is. Some will say, look at all the wars in the Bible. Look how God destroyed Jericho and all the other cities where everyone was killed. How do you respond to that? Well, today's program is going to do just that. Joining us today, we welcome Usama Daktok, the founder of the Straightway of Grace Ministry. Usama travels and speaks in order to equip believers in Christ to be effective witnesses of Jesus Christ to their Muslim neighbors, as well as ministering to Muslims directly. He is a speaker on the radio broadcast Revealing the Truth About Islam. He has conducted a word-for-word translation of the Quran from Arabic into English called The Generous Quran. He has also authored the two-volume set Exposing the Truth About the Quran and has just released a brand-new book, Exposing the Truth About Jihad. Its first volume is now written, Holy War in the Bible. Usama, welcome back here to Crosstalk.
Well, thank you, Brother Jim. It's always my pleasure to be with you and all our wonderful audience all over the world.
Now, you have poured a ton of time into writing this book and researching. We'll get into some of the specifics, but why do you believe that this topic is so important? Why is this topic so important that needed to be addressed?
You know, Brother Jim, every time I hear a Muslim speaker, imam, or other point to this exactly words which you start our program with, too many Christian ministers, not just the normal Christian people, and I hear the answer will be very weak, like, well, this is just the Old Testament. Well, we don't believe this. This was there, and people cannot give an apologetic answer, a true answer about the holiness of God and the judgment of sin. That's why I believe we put this book in writings. And I myself was doing a radio broadcast on VCY a few years ago by the title Islam, a Faith Hijacked. And as I was going through all these verses and all the teaching of Allah in the Quran and the killing, according to Muhammad, wars, which he led himself, I got so many emails from Muslims all over the world and here in America. Well, what about the killing in the Bible? What about the killing in the Old Testament? And that's why we decided to go ahead and put this in a radio podcast and now in a written book form.
Very good. Again, folks, it's called Exposing the Truth About Jihad, and its first volume is out now called Holy War in the Bible. Volume 2, we understand, will come out about a year from now, or by the end of 2019, early 2020, and dealing with the jihad in the Quran. Is that correct?
It's called The Unholy War of the Quran.
Okay, very good. So that's a title forthcoming about a year from now. But let's begin by defining jihad. This is Exposing the Truth About Jihad. What is jihad?
Well, I think of the word jihad, even though the word jihad is not mentioned in the Bible, with the same understanding which Muslims see it in the Quran and in the practice of Muhammad in the Sunnah, because we're talking about war. We're talking about killing. We cannot deny or disregard all the biblical teachings, all the way from the first time when the first man killed his own brother, that's Cain, killing people. And this is the beginning of the killing in the Bible, all the way up, obviously, when we get to the New Testament, the killing of God Almighty through our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ on the cross. There is jihad, and it is obviously in the biblical understanding to be a holy war as a judgment for sin. Brother Jim, the Bible talk about sin brought death, spiritual death, physical death, and eternal death. And that is what is the major point of jihad in the Bible.
And many people will point to 9/11. They see the jihad against America. And critics are quick to point out that, you know, as you said, war and death are in the Bible. There's the purging of the Canaanites from the land. We see lots of bloodshed. But is the killing that you talk about in the Bible the same as the killing, the jihad in the Quran? Is that the same thing?
No, absolutely not. I love what we put even on the cover of our book, and I would just summarize quickly by saying, if you've seen a policeman shooting and killing some person who's driving a car, who was going twice of the speed limit, killed 10, 20 people just by going through some streets. And as he about to enter, say, to Main Street, were lots of people. And the police tried to stop him, and he will not stop. And he continued literally to mow people as he cut grass with his car. And when the police kill him, and that policeman stand up before the judge will not find that policeman to be guilty of killing that crazy driver. But we will celebrate him and call him a hero because he stopped this crazy driver from killing a few more hundred people. Is this that the same as a policeman who shoot and kill a driver who is going the speed limit, who stop at every stop sign, who stop at red light? He just kills him for the love of killing him? Of course I'm not. This next cop, obviously, who killed the good driver, when he stands up before the judge, he will be found guilty because he killed an innocent person. Killing in the Old Testament is a judgment of God for sin. Killing in Islam or killing in the Quran is literally killing Christians for believing and trusting in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That is a savage killing. That is ungodly killing. That's why in Volume 2 we call it unholy war.
So when God created Adam and Eve, was it his plan that his descendants would kill?
No, absolutely not. We choose to sin. We choose disobedience. As a matter of fact, God told Adam, don't eat from that tree. Obey me. Obey my command. If you eat from it, for sure you will die. And that is obviously death there. Death, you will die. The true biblical understanding in the Arabic language, the same as Hebrew. I don't know how you put this in English. You will die, but you will die spiritually and you will die physically. And thank God for his plan to save Adam and Eve, and so is the rest of humanity through the Old Testament, through the sacrifice of animals. But God did not let sin go unpunished. It doesn't matter who is the person who sinned against God. There is always a punishment for sin, which is the physical death.
Yeah, and then you spend a great amount of time in your book saying a proper understanding of sin is very important to this topic, and the fact that sin itself deserves punishment from God.
Well, the wages of sin, Brother Jim, is death. This is not a late plan of God. Or no, from the beginning, God said, don't sin. And if you sin, you must die.
Usama Dekak is our guest here today on Crosstalk. You call Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 8, the first recorded jihad by God in the Bible, the first war, the first killing. That was the killing of people by a worldwide flood. Comment on that, that what you call is the first recorded jihad.
It is jihad by water. We talked about the sin of the world, how sin spread right and left, and people will have no repentance or to do what's right, even though when Noah lived for 120 years, they ignored him, they did not believe in him, and then God brought judgment. And in this judgment, the flood killed every soul which lived on the earth. Even the animals, all the creatures on earth were killed, except obviously Noah, his wife, three sons, and three daughters-in-law. And obviously this was a justifiable killing, first jihad in the Bible, that God punished the sin of the world by death through, of course, the flood of Noah.
Now, you also later in your book talk about a jihad of fire. What do you mean by that?
Well, we continue to see after men start to fill the earth one more time, the refilling of the earth. And obviously that is the killing of the sinful people once again for their sins by the hand of God, but not by water, because God did make the promise to Noah that he will not flood the earth again. But we came to the days of Noah, from the days of Noah to the days of Abraham, and we know that his nephew Lot lived in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. There were actually five cities, and because their sin was so severe, even that Abraham was arguing with the Lord, saying, perhaps there is 50 righteous, perhaps there is 10, perhaps there is 5. There was not even 5 righteous people in these 5 cities. And once again, as judgment for this thing, God performed jihad with fire by killing everybody in these 5 cities, except obviously Lot and his wife, who also disobeyed God by looking behind, and she turned to a salt pillar, and the two daughters of Lot. There was only 3 people were saved from that jihad of fire.
Okay. And then right previous to that jihad of fire, you wrote that the first organized war in the Bible is in Genesis 14 and 15. Is that passage teaching us that we should engage in war? Is that one that promotes war?
Well, not really, Brother Jim, because you think about the 318 men whom Abraham have he was to respond to the jihad, which the unholy war, which was taken over by these kings who went and fought Sodom and Gomorrah and these five cities. They are the one who started the fight. They're the one who took all the spoil of war, the people and everything. And when Abraham heard that his son, his nephew, Lot, was taken in that, in this battle, he had to retaliate. But not because he wanted to start a fight or start a war, but it was a, what you call defensive war. He wanted to bring his nephew back, and the Lord gave him a great victory with his 318 men, that he brought all the souls, all the spoils. And the kings were trying to, you know, thank Abraham and reward him. Well, just give us the souls, give us the people, and you take all the spoil of war. That's not the reason why Abraham went to fight. And he said, no, I will not take anything from you because I don't want you to say that you made me rich. My riches come from the Lord. And he obviously took some of these spoil for the men who went and fought. But Abraham himself did not talk. So normally war is to go and kill and get the spoil. That was not what's in the heart of Abraham. He was just simply bringing justice for these ungodly kings who went to war, taking his nephew and his family, and obviously the rest of the people of this city, as who were taken as spoil of war.
I'm looking at chapter 2 of your book, and it's called Rules of Jihad, and you say these rules of jihad are laid out in Deuteronomy chapter 20. What are these rules of jihad?
Brother Jim, there are so much in these rules of jihad. When we compare it to the jihad of the Quran, we'll find it, it's amazing. First of all, I don't have it in my head, but I'm going to speak from my heart here. First of all, these people were not military fighters. They were just normal people. Second of all, they were had to do the jihad throughout the Bible in one day. We're not talking about going in war for weeks and months until people, you know, starve and they run, trying to make peace with Muhammad. He refused to accept their peace, and he literally put them in a situation where they had to accept Islam or to be killed. No, it was one-day war. It was the Lord's war. It had to be a holy war. It is not a war for the purpose of anything but to bring justice for sin. There's so much. I wish I can have the time to open my book and share with you all these things. That's why people need to get the book and read and learn about these rules. Is God's rules set before men for all those who will war and go in performing this holy jihad for God. And it is amazing. It is God's fight. He won it all the time. All these wars, it did not start with the children of Israel. Moses did not start the fight. Joshua did not start the fight. And so it's Abraham here, as we talked in Genesis, first organized war. It was not Abraham who started the fight. It was always a holy war to bring justice concerning the sin of others, even those who start the fight against the children of Israel.
So do the killings in the Bible always go back to sin?
Absolutely. Hmm. Absolutely.
Usama Dakdak with us here today on Crosstalk. We're going to take a quick break here on the broadcast and pick up with our discussion as so much criticism has been launched against the Bible. You say you point your fingers at Islam. Well, look at the Bible. Look at the war and killings in the Bible. Well, we're discussing that here today, and Usama giving an apologetic, certainly a defense of Scripture in this regard, as it does relate back to sin and to God's judgment. We're going to pick up with Joshua in the Battle of Jericho after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how primitive was early man?
Chris, early man was never primitive in an evolutionary sense at all. In the beginning, man was created in the image of God with great ability, even able to communicate with God face to face. All this was before sin, however, and we've been deteriorating ever since. Evidence continues to accumulate that long ago man was highly sophisticated, evidently even performing brain surgery. Skulls have been found with holes drilled in them for surgical reasons, and the person had survived. No, Chris, there never were primitive humans. There were some with less technology and not much education, but Stone Age cultures exist today. This is a level of civilization, but not an evolutionary stage, and it's been that way ever since, back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
We'll be right back. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Usama Daktok is our guest here today from the Straight Way of Grace Ministry, and he has just released a brand new book, Exposing the Truth About Jihad. Volume 1 has just been released, Holy War in the Bible. This is the first of a two-volume series in which he investigates the justified killings as recorded in both the Old and New Testaments of the Bible, and in the second volume, we'll be investigating the unjustified murders commanded in the Quran. Before we pick up on the Battle of Jericho, brother, how is it our listeners can obtain a copy of your book, the brand new one, Exposing the Truth About Jihad, Volume 1?
It's very simple. Just go on our website, thestraightway.org, thestraightway.org, and double-click and a couple places there, a couple times, and you will be able to purchase your own book, I'm sure.
Yeah, and indeed, go to thestraightway.org, and about midway down that homepage, you'll find the new book on the right side of the page. You can click on that, and that'll take you to a page where you can order it, and all the details are there, thestraightway.org. Usama Daktok with us. Let's talk about Joshua and the Battle of Jericho. I mean, they were told to kill everyone, including, all the people, and they were to kill all the animals. And some have looked at this and said, how is this any different from the followers of Islam going in and bombings or driving their vehicle through a crowd of people and just killing anything and everything in its path? Let's talk about Joshua and the Battle of Jericho.
Sure, brother. First of all, when Muslims go to fight in Muhammad days all the way until now, we got this bombing and airplanes, it was for the purpose of taking the spoil. In the case of Jericho here, it's an unusual fight, as we see the beginning of jihad with the children of Israel after they left Egypt, and now they are taking Jericho. How are they going to take it? I know how people always like to talk about killing, but would it be better if they keep all the animals and keep some of the little girls for sex slaves, as we learn about in the Quran, or the boys to work for them? And why not? No. It is about the revenge of God, the holy war for the sin of the people of Jericho. We have to understand that this is not rules set in the days of Moses and Joshua. These rules was given by God to Abraham. If we go to Genesis 18, God told Abraham, this land is yours. And Abraham said, well, good, let me have it now. No, not now. Why? Because God said, for the sins of the Amorite is not full yet. Your children will be taken to a foreign land. They will be there as slaves for 400 years. When they come back, when the sins of the Amorites, including the people of Jericho, is one of these cities, when the sin is full, then I will give you this land. So now they're going to take this land. What kind of war we have here? There must be all the military now. They have been practicing, these children have been practicing for years, and they're ready to take off. No, it is a weird fight. People will not, the skeptics will not read that to talk about it. They have to go around Jericho one time a day for 6 days quietly. And on the seventh day, they will go 6 times quietly. And in the seventh time, they will shout, hey! And guess what happened? What we never seen in any other battle. The walls of Jericho going down. And then God gives them victory because they thought that they can be separated from the justice of God by wall. No, they were sinful people. Their sin was in full, and it was time for justice to take place. Holy war to get rid of all these sinful people for their sins. And it's not about taking spoil, Brother Jim. They never take a female or a cow or anything.
Usama, we're going to advance, and I know you cover many of the battles in the book of Joshua. You talk about the Battle of Ai and others, but again, folks, we'd encourage you to get obtain a copy of the book because it's very comprehensive to go through the various battles and killings in Scripture. And seeing that it is due, has a direct relationship to sin, as Usama has put it, the justified killings as recorded in both the Old and New Testaments of the Bible, and then investigating the unjustified murders commanded in the Quran. This book is over 360 pages and is very comprehensive, but I'd like to jump forward to the time of the judges, because there was a lot of bloodshed then as well, Usama. I think of all the judges and the killings that were going on. I think Samson is listed there too, in the killing of the Philistines?
Sure. Once again, those are the people who live in the promised land, whom God promised Abraham that he would give him and his descendants, obviously, this land, and it was after their sin was in full. So many of these battles, and what's amazing, Brother Jim, when we look at so many of these battles in the Old Testament, it did not make any sense. You mentioned Gideon, or Gideon, for example.
Yeah.
Well, how many people go fought with Gideon? He had thousands. And God said, no, that's too much. And he ended with 300 men.
Mm-hmm.
And the 300 men did not have a sword. I mean, this does not make any sense. You're going to go to fight with 300 instead of 30,000. And then you're going to have 300 men with no sword? How is it going to fight? The Lord fought the battle. So it's also, if we read the story of Samson and how he fell in love with a Palestinian young lady, and the father now tricked him, and he will not give it to him, give it to the other guy. And all, you can read all the details in the scripture or in my book, new book, but it's about judgment of sin. And maybe we look at the circumstance of each and every one of this battle. It was, once again, God's promise to give that land to the children of Israel. And they must do something wrong so they can be punished for it. And that something wrong is called sin. And I don't know if you're going to get to it or not, Brother Jim, but even when the children of Israel sinned, you see, I love how the skeptics, they'll try to find all the killing in the Bible because God told Moses, God told Joshua, God told David, God told them to kill. But what about when God punished the children of Israel? Why we don't talk about these other battles where even the children of Israel themselves were punished for their sin, sometimes by the enemies or sometimes by the angels of the Lord, sometimes by they kill each other because God ordered them to wipe people for their sins. It is one scene all over the whole Old Testament.
Well, friends, Usama's book gets well into all the battles under King Saul and King David and those that were waged. Time is not going to permit us to do that. You'll find them addressed in the book. But, Usama, I'd like to jump forward to the New Testament, which is part two of this particular book about jihad in the New Testament. And in doing so, as you begin talking in the New Testament, you actually go back to the sacrifices. Why is that important to know?
Because the problem is sin. Why we have sacrifice all over the Bible? It is to cover the sin of the people. It doesn't matter who they are. If they are the children of Israel, those who follow the beliefs of the God of Abraham, or the heathen, those who live all over the land. When we read the Bible all the way from Genesis account until we get to the cross, we see always there was a shedding of blood of pure sacrifice animals, which had to fit with the Jewish beliefs, of course, for covering for the sin. You cannot understand the true holy jihad of God the Father killing his own son in the cross, because that is the holy, holy jihad in the Bible, unless you understand the sin and the nature of sin and the punishment of sin and how God dealt with his own people sins in the Old Testament by even their own physical death, or when they repented, when they confessed that they have sinned against God. And they offer the sacrifices according to God's plan, according to God's will, which is a small picture. It is a small drawing to what will take place in the holy jihad in the New Testament, which is obviously the death of Christ. We cannot understand the cross without understanding sin and the sacrifice of the Old Testament.
Yeah, and indeed, you do take us to the death of Christ and his subsequent burial and resurrection. How does that factor then into all of this?
Well, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God loved the world from the beginning, but the problem is the world will not repent. The world will not live right before him. Only the chosen ones, the chosen children of Israel, who obeyed God. But even those who believe in God and the Jewish people have sinned. And the sacrifice is the only thing. When he saw the blood, he passed by. He did not kill them because he see obedience in their belief in him and trusting in him. And when we went to the cross and we see Christ on the cross, he died for my sin and your sin. I know how Muslims sometimes look at the passage in the Bible. For example, the sinful woman who was committing adultery, and they brought her before Jesus. Well, Moses said she must be stoned to death. What would you say, Jesus? And Jesus said, go and sin no more. Muslims look at that. Oh, here we go. Christianity allowed people to live in sin without punishment. No, Jesus paid for the sin of that adultery woman on the cross. And he paid for my sin, and each and every one of those who listen to us on the broadcast, he paid for our sin, and he paid the punishment of our sin, which is death. And that is the only way we can see the love of God meet with the justice of God. If we look at God as a just God only, all of us have to burn in hell. And if we look at God as a loving God only, all of us should go to heaven. But his justice met with his love on the cross when Jesus paid the penalty for our sin.
Hmm. Usama, many will take a look at this, and they will claim, though, that Christianity was spread by the sword. I mean, Muslims will claim that. Some will even point to Jesus telling his disciples to go buy a sword. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, this obviously is a misunderstood verses in the New Testament, which Muslims love to talk about all the time, to say, here we go, Jesus himself in the New Testament. He also promotes sin, and he encouraged his promote killing, and he encouraged his disciples to start fighting and war. No, if we investigate these passages in the Bible, as we have did in our book, you see when Jesus said to go buy a sword, he's not talking about the sword of Islam, the 3-4 feet. He's talking about a small knife. For what? For defending himself. Jesus provided for his disciples all the 3 years of his ministry, and now he's about to leave, and he said, you don't have a sword, a small knife, that's a real word in the Greek language, you go buy yourself a knife. You don't have a wallet with money. You need to get some wallet and money because you are from now on your own. I'm leaving you. Protect yourself from the thief, not to go and fight. And the evidence is very clear, Brother Jim. We look at the life of all the disciples of Jesus who heard that message from him. Not one of them involved in war. And even when Peter tried to do it with his knife, Jesus stopped him. You are not obeying my teaching. Those who take by the sword will be taken. And all the disciples of Jesus were killed, except John, who's obviously taken to an island as a prison. All of them were killed by the sword, and not one of them killed anyone by the sword. So how can the true close follower of Christ did not understand him, and they did not fight? No, they understand exactly what he meant. These swords, which he asked him to carry, it is only to defend himself from thieves and robbers of the road, not to go and fight and have military wars like we see in Islam.
And friends, we're just really scratching the surface. We've moved very quickly through his book, but it goes into great detail is easy to read, easy to understand, but Usama lays out and goes through the various wars and issues. And to sum it all up, you state that death in the Bible is justifiable because the wages of sin is death. And that's the vantage point from which you come.
Absolutely, Brother Jim. If we could not understand sin, then we have a problem. Then we're going to misunderstand the scripture. And as the best way to start is Genesis account, God is telling Abraham, this is the land I'm giving to you, but you're not going to have it now. Why? Because the sin of the people who live in it are not full yet. And God was so patient with these people for 430 years to be exactly. And then the judgment of God came. And that thing continued with the children of Israel because God does not have to wait to major sin. Sin is sin, and the wages of sin is death. And you can see this throughout the pages of the Bible. Old Testament, and obviously the true holy jihad in the New Testament, when Christ took our place on the cross. How can you say that this is justice? Why people ignore Christ being on the cross for our sin? If you ignore sin and the punishment of sin throughout the Old Testament, you cannot even ignore Christ, the holy righteous one, the one who know not sin, and the Father put him on the cross to be for our sin. What a great sacrifice. What a holy sacrifice.
Amen. Well, friends, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to open our phone lines, but I would like to say this. We are limiting. There's so many questions you can ask about Islam, but we're going to limit it to this aspect of jihad, to the topic of jihad today, and even as it relates to the killings in the Bible. And maybe you've got questions. Maybe there's something in the Bible that's puzzled you. You have a question on it. Our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829.
Islam is making its advance in America and around the globe. Its quest is for world domination, a world caliphate. Born in Iran, Shahram Haidian is a former Muslim who has come to faith in Jesus Christ. Shahram delivered a powerful message entitled Eyes Wide Open, where he discusses the Muslim agenda in America. He warns about churches and denominations compromising the truth and participating in interfaith dialogue and common word documents. Shahram calls the church to wake up to what's happening and to return to its biblical role of fulfilling the Great Commission. Eyes Wide Open is available on CD for a donation of $6 or DVD for a donation of $12. Since Shahram uses PowerPoint, the DVD is recommended. However, either one will be a benefit to you. To request one or multiple copies, simply call VCY America at 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Usama Dakdak is our guest today, and we're limiting our discussion to the topic of jihad. Our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. Usama has just released a new book called Exposing the Truth About Jihad. Volume 1 has just been out. Lord willing, Volume 2 out by the end of 2019, early 2020. This one is Holy War in the Bible. The second volume to come out will be that of the Unholy War, or the Unholy Killings in the Quran. And the unjustified killings, and so therefore that will give the counterpoint to this as well. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829, and I would love to hear from you today on this topic of jihad. Questions you may have. To order the book, you can go to thestraightway.org, thestraightway.org. We have Jerry calling in from Middle Village, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yes, I'd like to know that back in the biblical days, are they considered kind of like the modern-day bombers and stuff like that? I'd also like to know how accurate is the number of people that were killed in the Bible, because then we're talking thousands and hundreds of thousands. Thank you for your time.
Okay, so how accurate are the numbers of the killings in the Bible?
Yeah, because I can't believe it. 100,000, 20,000, and stuff like that. There were some big numbers for those days. I didn't know how to kill that many people.
It's very simple, Brother Jim. If we think about the first jihad God performed by his hand, the whole earth were flooded. The 100,000 is a small number. You're talking about life was on earth for plenty of time, 1,700 years, and there were plenty of people. All those people died. The numbers in the Bible is accurate. Sometimes people see some problematic with inconsistency with number in the Bible. It's very simple because there was no a Hebrew number to write numbers down. And so obviously they're using the alphabet in the Hebrew language. And sometimes you see the meme, the letter meme, the letter nun in the Hebrew language are very close. As they were recopying the Bible, one copy after copy, they made an error of copying. But these numbers, the 20,000, 60,000, whatever numbers we read about those who died in this battle, these are accurate numbers.
Thank you for the call, Jerry. John is calling from Wichita, Kansas. John, you're on the air.
Yes. Is there a difference between a Christian defending themselves in case of somebody breaking into their home, if they actually had to kill somebody? Because my pastor said that that's you're engaging in warfare and Christians don't engage in warfare, therefore Christians should not defend themselves.
Self-defense. What about that issue, Usama?
Well, it's very simple. The Bible tells us more than just a simple message to be loving and forgiving and turn the other cheek. The same Bible who told me to forgive you for insulting me and turn the other cheek to me is the same Bible who command me to obey the laws of the land, to obey the kings and the rules which God appoint on the land. If our president gave an order to go to war, Christians must obey the order of the king and go to war. How about the Bible also would teach us to love our wives as Christ loved the church? So if somebody is going to attack my wife or attack my children in my house, like maybe Brother Stone here, then I have to defend my family. Why? Because it's biblical teaching. Christ did not love the church by giving the church a bouquet of flower on once a year or a box of chocolate. No, Christ loved the church. He died on the cross for the church. We ought to love our wives, we ought to love our family, and to be willing to die for them, because that's what Christ commanded. So yes, there are verses in the Bible talk about me forgiving and loving and turns the other cheek, but there's also verses in the Bible that I must protect my wife, protect my family, and protect my country. And all these are echoes. There is no contradiction in the teachings of the Bible.
Yeah, and indeed, self-defense is not taking vengeance. It is certainly that of protecting that which God has entrusted to you as well. There's some great writings that have been done on this. I believe even some time ago, Larry Pratt at Gun Owners of America had put forth a paper, an in-depth paper on the Bible and self-defense. That's great to look up, and I know there's other articles on that as well. Thank you, John, for raising the issue. Jim in Waniwak, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hi, I want to first say, Usama Dakdal, God bless you, brother. 1 Corinthians 15:58,
You tell it like it is. I'm a veteran about the Navy and the Marine Corps, and I get a little sick of you sometimes. You see how stupid Americans are. I'm born and raised in Chicago, and I'll tell it like it is. On Clark Street, just 3 blocks south of Foster Avenue at Winnemac and Clark, there's a, they don't even hide it. It's called the Attack Full Mosque, and people tell me I get killed. I stuck a little track in there because at the time it's the inner city, and I knew the Assyrian Eagles, and I kept trying to tell people there's a lot of these guys, even the inner city gangs, Latin Kings, Spanish Cold, they're staying away from these guys. There's a lot of them. They're quiet. They don't drink booze, but they sell it. They don't do drugs, but they sell it. If there were to be a call right now for a jihad, it has nothing to do with that Farrakhan in New York, right? Can somebody somewhere else call a jihad that would affect the citizens in the inner cities like Chicago, and I'm sure New York and L.A. just by a phone call?
Okay, and what? Let's just talk about the jihad, the killings again of Islam, as how that contrasts with what you see as to the killings in the Bible.
Well, first of all, Brother Jim, we know that all the killings in the Bible were against sin as a result of sin. The worst thing, the worst sin in Islam, it is called the sin of shirk. That is to have a partner with Allah. Quran 8:12 talk about that. Allah said He will terrorize the Christians. Why? Because they have partner with Allah. Because they believe that Jesus is God, and because they believe the Holy Spirit is God. So the worst sin in Islam is not any of the sins in the Bible, which brought death on the people who lived that sin, but the worst sin in Islam is to be a Christian, to believe that Jesus Christ is God Almighty, died on the cross, and rose again from the great and third day. That is the worst sin, and the punishment for that sin in Islam is killing. Terrorization and killing of Christian and Jew, and anyone who will not submit to Islam, is the rules of jihad in the Quran. That's why we call it unholy war. It is not justifiable. You're not killing a person because he committed sin or because he lives in sin with the justice of the scripture, the Holy Bible. You're killing Christians just because they believe in Jesus Christ. That is not the killing of the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Jim,
God bless you, brother. God bless you. Thank you. Keep up the good work, man. We're praying for you.
Thank you,
brother.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate your call here today. A couple open lines here at 800-733-9829, 1-800-733-9829. Jihad is our topic today. Usama Dakdak, our guest. Let's go to Salina, Kansas. Steve, you're on the air.
Yeah, this is from Psalm 137, verses 8 through 9. O daughter of Babylon, doomed to be destroyed, blessed shall be who repays you with what you've done to us. Blessed shall be who takes your little ones and dashes their head against the rock. Now, to me, that's just God repaying sin. And the reason I brought this up, because Obama brought this up on an address, and he told people to read their Bible. He took it out of context to show the jihad that is being waged against us is just. I understand it, but that's why I brought it up, because it refers, because of the assessment.
Yeah, against
Let's have Usama go ahead and address that. Go ahead, Usama.
Very good point. I love it how not just Mr. Barack Hussein Obama, but all skeptics and all Muslims love to look at these passages. But they will not look at the war against the Ephraimites, where the entire half-tribe of Ephraim, which is because we have Ephraimites and the Benjamites, the two children of Manasseh, the two children of Joseph, they were wiped out. Completely were killed. The women were killed. The children were killed. Only 600 men were kept alive. And then they even make an oath that they will not give them a daughter. We talk about that in my book. So what we're going to hear, the judgment of God is always this. If you look at revenge from Babylon, it's Babel sinning against God. God used Babel to punish his own children of Israel for their sin. And at the same time, Babylonians, the Iraqi people, were not holy, were not labor righteous. That was the judgment on them. So, yes, here's the killing little babies. What about the children of Benjamin's own babies, whom God also killed? They will not have a female left because they supported the gay and lesbian of their days. And they fought against the other tribes of Israel to protect the sinful behavior of these men who have homosexual lifestyle. God punishes them. It is the wage of sin is death. Death is not a joke. Death is not a massage you give to people. Death is bloodshed, blood, killing women pregnant, killing babies, killing everyone. That is the punishment of the sin. I'd like to share something quick, Brother Jim, if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
All the children who were killed in the Bible, in the Old Testament, all the battles, if they were children of Israel or the children of the heathen, the Gentiles, the wicked, evil people, all these children, none of them will see the third death, which is eternal hell, because God is a just God. So if we leave the children to live naturally, guess what? Their fathers and their family were offered them as a sacrifice, burning them as a sacrifice to the false God, to the man-made God. Hmm. But because they were killed as a judgment for the sin of their parents, the children will have eternal life. This is a biblical teaching. For such as these are the kingdom of God. This is exactly what Jesus taught us. So you may think it's not fair, it's not justice for these children to die. This is a very painful way of killing. No, it's actually God's grace. Have they lived to grow, they will spend eternity in hell, but they die young. Think about the result of them. There is consequence for sin. A drunk father who will kill his family or kill somebody else's children, this is a consequence of sin. It brings death. But little children who die without knowing sin, they will not be punished for the eternal death, which is the fire of hell.
Thank you.
I pointed it all out. I appreciate the program.
Thank you, Steve. Pensacola, Florida. Don, as we're talking about jihad today, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you for having this Christian on. Since God is at war with sin, let us define sin today first. Proverbs 24:9 says, the thought of foolishness is sin, or we might say a foolish thought is sin. That's Proverbs 24:9. I don't know where this verse is located, but it defines sin as well. All unrighteousness is sin. Mm-hmm. All unrighteousness is sin.
Yeah.
Well, please comment. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is natural, Brother Jim. People think of sin, of big sin and small sin, black sin and white sin. Adultery is sin, but looking by the eyes and lust in the heart is not sin. That's not how we understand biblically. Sin is disobedience. Even when we speak words out of place, we will be judged for every word we speak in. So sin is sin. Murder is equal to be angry against somebody. Adultery is equal to lust with your eyes and lust with your heart. Sin is severe problem, and the wages of the sin is death. No such a thing as small sin and big sin. Sin is literally, if we know how to do good and we do not do it, it is sin. Hmm. That's how the Bible describes sin.
Thank you, Don. Usama Dakdak is our guest. Well, let's see if we can squeeze another question before the break. Melanie, go ahead. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. Thanks for your program. It appears to me that jihad is a perceived to be judge and executioner. But let's not forget that we live in the age of grace. And Lord Jesus told us to be salt and light, to be a living sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about Jesus being fulfillment of the law.
Okay. Yep, thank you. And certainly that's something Usama covered here as it relates to that ultimate sacrifice, the payment for our sin, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you so much, Melanie, for your call. The death, the burial, the resurrection. That's the gospel, the good news. We'll be back in just 1 minute. And our telephone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. We'll be right back. For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. In our series on brainwashing, we have learned these steps. You must remove moral leaders. 2, you must create moral confusion. 3, you must teach revisionist history. And now 4, you must block any opposition to the desired outcome. In fact, that's what we see happening in America today, don't we? The shadow banning, the blocking, the banning of conservative Christian voices from social media and even from the airwaves. And in coming days, you will see increasing number of conservatives and Christian broadcasters absolutely eliminated. And one way this will be done is through the fairness doctrine, hate crime laws, and other things. There must be a blocking of opposition to the global paradigm. In fact, this is exactly what Herbert Marcuse, who coined the phrase make love not war, wrote in his 1965 paper on repressive tolerance. He said any of the Christians or conservatives that don't go along should have the right of freedom of speech and freedom of assembly taken from them. This is how you brainwash a people.
Mm-hmm.
Usama Daktok, our guest here today on Crosstalk. He had just put out a brand new book, Exposing the Truth About Jihad. Volume 1 is out, Holy War in the Bible. Lord willing, by the end of this year or early 2020, hoping to have the second volume out. This is a two-volume series. He's investigating the justified killings as recorded both the Old and New Testaments of the Bible, and the second volume investigating the unjustified murders commanded in the Quran. It's available through his website, thestraightway.org, thestraightway.org. Let's go to Calumet, Michigan. We have Kurt calling in. Kurt, you're on the air.
Hello. I wanted to say about jihad, we gotta prevent the jihad somehow, you know. And, I guess it doesn't seem good, so.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we could show, you know, the love to, people that, you know, that's all I got to say.
Okay.
Try to spread the love and, you know, jihad, that doesn't sound very good.
No, jihad's not a good thing, is it, Usama, as far as what we see?
No, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Jihad is blood. It's killing. It is the result of sin. I don't think we, when we commit sin, we understand, as a Christian even, we don't understand how much that cost our Lord and our Savior on the cross of shame and sorrow. Jesus suffered in that jihad to be for our sin. If we can put in our heart and our mind, if we think about how much our sin cost the Father to give his son on the cross, this will help us to rethink before we say, before we do, before we walk in any ungodliness. But if we take it lightly and we think, well, we'll have fun, enjoy my life, then we will see it. Well, killing is killing. We're going to die someday. No. Death is very severe. Death is a punishment of our sin is very severe. Therefore, we need to recount our thoughts and our action before we do anything to live right before God.
Let's go to Reggie next in Delavan, Wisconsin. Reggie, you're on the air.
Hello, glad you could be on the air. I just want to point out, I served some time in prison, and I've noticed in prison, a guy was talking about when he was from Chicago, and the different gangs and stuff, and I noticed those gangs, they used their Muslim meetings for their gang meeting. And I noticed they're infiltrating the prison, and they're teaching this propaganda, and a lot of guys are believing this, thinking they can hold on to that, and this is going to help them. Hmm. So I just wanted to point out that is going on in our prison today.
Thank you, Reggie. And Usama, you're well aware of the propagation
sure.
of Islam.
Thank you, Brother Jim. Mm-hmm. The Muslims are growing in a huge number in our prison system all over this country, and they are literally spreading these hateful teaching, and we have enough evidence that from many people who hear that, well, it's time for revenge. Is he actually spreading even lies? They're trying to bring people out of the prison, especially our black brothers, who would say, hey, we were put into slavery. It's time now for revenge. The white is rich because of what we have been through. It's time for revenge. And these seeds that Islam and the teaching of Islam about jihad and revenge fit perfectly with their circumstances. Satan is using that to bring chaos to America. And if we will let this continue to spread and grow, then we will have a very, very severe consequence to that in the near future of America. Sadly, we have to say that, but it's time for us to learn the truth about the true jihad, the holy jihad in the Bible, and the ungodly, unjustifiable killing in the Quran, that we can defend ourselves and make sure people will not fall into this lie spread by the Muslims.
Ken in Richland, Washington, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you guys covered this or not. What do you think the ramifications would be for a senator to put his hand on the Quran, to swear by it, to uphold the Constitution? And I'll go ahead and hang up and listen mm-hmm. to your comment.
Quick, I'll give you a quick brother. Here's the problem with all those who are running for office, Muslims, swearing on the Quran. The sad thing is not they. The sad thing is the rest of us, the Americans, conservative and Democrat alike, we have not read the Quran. We have not known what Allah said in the Quran about the unjustifiable killings, the hateful, barbaric, savages, verses all over the Quran, which teach Muslims to kill Christians just for being a Christian. And if we know these facts, we should never allow any Muslim to swear on that evil book, the Quran, to hold the Constitution, which is the opposite of the teaching, of the biblical teaching and the Constitution of the United States of America.
Let's squeeze one last call in from Madison, Wisconsin. Steve, you're on the air.
Yes, could you please tell me where in the Quran it says smite the infidel?
Dave, there's a couple of verses of Quran 47 verse 4, Quran 47 verse 4, and Quran chapter 8 verse 12, Quran chapter 8 verse 12, and Quran chapter 8 verse 60. There are plenty. Just if you download my Quran and look for those smite at their necks, so you will see plenty there. But that is a normal teaching of the commands of Allah in the Quran for Muslims to kill Christians or Jewish people for not accepting Islam.
Mm-hmm. So several references there, Steve. Thanks. Appreciate your call. And to each of you calling in on the broadcast today, Usama Dakdak, our guest, and this topic of holy war in the Bible. And he goes through every one of these situations in Scripture in his book, Exposing the Truth About Jihad, Holy War in the Bible, and over 360 pages. It's available through his website, thestraightway.org. Usama, I do want to also mention that you are available to go out to churches and meeting halls and willing to bring. You've got a wide series of presentations to share the truth about Islam.
Absolutely, and we are one call away, Brother Jim. All what people do is just need to call our ministry or to send us an email. There's a form online. If they fail, we'll be very happy to make sure that we'll be in their churches, in their meetings, anywhere in America and even in Canada.
And what number would they call if they want to set up an appointment?
941-223-1703. That is 941-223-1703.
Very good. And Usama, you have poured a lot of time, many, many, many hours, weeks, months into this book here, Exposing the Truth About Jihad, but it's really to provide an answer to the attacks that have been given against Scripture itself.
Amen. Praise God for that. And we have to understand one thing quickly, Brother Jim, here before we go, that the killing of Jesus on the cross, it is the only salvation, even for those who offered the sacrifices of the Old Testament. Without Christ going to the cross and dying for the sin of the world, not the sin of the New Testament, none of the sacrifices of the Old Testament could save one person. And this is a very important fact. The sacrifice of the Old Testament was covering for the sins, but the sacrifice of Christ, the holy, justifiable killing of Christ on our behalf, brought forgiveness of all our sins, those who believe in the New Testament and those who offered the sacrifices of the Old Testament.
Brother Usama Dakdak, our guest today. Usama, thanks for pulling over to the side of the road here to join us for the broadcast today.
Thank you, Brother Jim. It's always my joy to be with you. Appreciate it, Brother.
And, folks, thanks so much for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.